Back in the 60s, the mid-60s, the story goes, anyway, counterculture guru Timothy Leary was having a conversation with Marshall McLuhan, who was at that time residing right here in Toronto, at the University of Toronto. And McLuhan said to Timothy Leary, you know, you've got to come up with a snappy phrase in order to promote the benefits of LSD. So one day Leary's in the shower, and that's when he came up with the mantra, really. It became the mantra of the 60s, didn't it? Turn on, tune in, and drop out. Well, imagine if you could tune in and turn on without the benefit or without the use of a drug. Well, according to the latest research, it's all very possible. We're going to discuss in the next hour how you can superactivate specific parts of your brain. These are with a newly discovered methods that turn, that allow your brain to experience incredible creativity, intelligence, pleasure, even ESP and other paranormal activity. Neil Slade is a musical composer, a seasoned concert performer, an author, an artist, and the student of another guru of sorts. We'll discuss that in a few moments. And he's here to tell us about the amazing brain adventure. Neil Slade, welcome to News Talk 1010 CFRB and the Richard Serrett Show.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm very well. And we should also point out the author of a number of books, including The Frontal Lobe Supercharge, Brain Magic, Cosmic Conversations, and Mind Music. Neil, I've heard you referred to in some quarters as the new Timothy Leary.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
Oh, that's just fine with me. I may raise a few eyebrows here, but I was, I think Timothy Leary was greatly understood and greatly maligned by the establishment. I did have a chance to hear him speak when he was alive many years ago, when he was touring, and this was the tour previous to the one that he did with G. Gordon Liddy.
Oh, yes.
And he was a very intelligent, very lucid individual, and not at all the stoned, mindless freak that the mass media would, you know, painted him as. So, you know, I have absolutely no qualms about people even putting me in the same sentence as Timothy Leary. He was really, and everyone that knew him personally knew him as a very kind and gentle and compassionate human being. And, you know, he certainly had ideas that were non-conventional and went against the grain of the establishment. But he had, as far as, you know, one of the problems, you know, I mean, it's just myths grow up around people that have nothing to do with the people. People may have the false impression that he thought everybody should just, you know, willy-nilly take LSD and smoke pot, you know, and throw caution to the wind. But this was not what he was about in the slightest. He first began experimenting with psychedelics when he was a professor at Harvard. And it was in the capacity of therapy that he was doing with prison inmates and alcoholics. And what they found, and this has been repeated many times, and you know, I'm not a drug guru of any sort myself, but just to give a little historical background about Timothy Leary, because I just happen to know a bit about him, they found that people who had very bad addictions to drugs like heroin and alcohol had an astoundingly high recovery rate with the use of psilocybin and LSD.
It's interesting. I just recently spoke with Dennis McKenna, the brother of the late Terrence McKenna about that, and he did some research into a DMT or ayahuasca. Told me the same thing, that people that became involved in some capacity with some of these Amazonian tribes that, that used ayahuasca in a as a sacrament, the same types of things, and talking about the therapeutic value of some of these psychedelics, which is being investigated by places like at the Hefter Research Institute.
I think what Leary's claims have been verified and corroborated very recently in terms of the use of these particular, they're called tryptamine chemicals,
but
in helping people recover from addictive types of diseases like alcoholism.
But you
so
found
he was decades and decades ahead of everyone else.
So your goals were are the same, but you found a different way. You found a different method.
Sure. Well, what's very interesting, and this is true of most pharmaceutical drugs, and including the hallucinogenic drugs that we're all kind of familiar with. The only reason drugs work is because you have neuroreceptors inside the brain in which they're already there when you're born, okay? And so when you take a drug, you know, of any type, whether it's Percocet or aspirin or LSD or psilocybin or DMT, it's because your brain naturally makes these chemicals. You're already making these chemicals inside your brain. And the proof is that you have the neuroreceptors, which is kind of like the female plug, right? And you take the external drug, the manufactured drug, and it plugs itself into this receptor that's already waiting in your brain. And your brain makes all of these chemicals. They're called enkephalins, they're called endorphins. They're the built-in painkillers and the built-in hallucinogens that your brain manufactures on its own. Now, I became interested in the subject of brain self-control during high school and shortly after high school, because like many high school kids, and this for me, this was 30 years ago. I'm 53 now. So when I was like 18, I was getting high and I was taking hallucinogens. And at a certain point, I thought, gee, it would be nice if I could do that without having to, you know, fork out the money for the drugs, right? What if I could be high all the time? And so for me, I ran into this fellow, and his name was George Green, and he used to hang outside the University of Colorado, and he used to say exactly what you said in the preamble to this interview, that what if you could get high, you know, what if you could experience these alternative states naturally without taking the drugs? And he said you can do it. He was the first person that I met who said that you can do it. And he said you can get 25 times higher than LSD by meditation, by using your power of your own brain power to get into these states. And
okay,
so I really explored that as far as I could, and he was right. It's absolutely true.
Okay, Neil, stay put. We'll come back and we'll talk about exactly how we stimulate certain areas of the brain, this relatively new research, which will allow us to turn on incredible creativity, intelligence, pleasure, ESP, even paranormal activity inside the brain. Neil Slade is my guest here on the Richard Serrett Show on News Talk 1010 CFRB. What if you could tune in, turn on, and drop out anytime you wanted, but without the use of drugs? That's what Neil Slade is here to talk about. Neil was assistant to brain and behavior research, TDA Lingo, for 11 years at Colorado's Dormant Brain Research and Development Laboratory, established by Lingo back in 1957. And for several years, Slade was employed full-time to create and present therapeutic creativity, music, and art workshops at many of Colorado's major psychiatric and medical treatment centers. His books, The Frontal Lobes Supercharge and Have Fun, are easy-to-use, do-it-yourself manuals for turning on untapped areas of each and every person's brain, the other 90%. Neil, let's get into it, and a lot of this revolves around two walnut-sized organs that reside in the brain called the amygdala. What is amygdala stimulation?
Well, amygdala, you have to understand, One of the basic things that I've always taught, and we've taught this in the elementary schools, and we've taught this in the psychiatric wards and in the high schools, and we use Dr. Paul McLean's model of the human brain. And Dr. Paul McLean is a very well-respected brain researcher who is the director of the Laboratory for Brain Evolution and Behavior. And he developed a model of the brain, which is pretty much accepted by most people in neurology and medicine and so on. And it's called the triune model of the brain. And triune, three in one. So he says if you look at the human brain, it's essentially three major layers of material. And if you go to my website, brainradar.com, you'll find actual pictures of the human brain, and you'll find diagrams. We actually have flyby movies, so you can see what I'm talking about. So go to brainradar.com, or you can just go to YouTube and look up amygdala or Neil Slate, okay? And that'll get you to the pictures and the movies and stuff. Anyway, Dr. McLean said, well, look at the human brain. It's really three brains in one. The most inner part of the brain, let's call the reptile brain. That's kind of like the seeds of an apple, and it's the core of the brain. And what that part of your brain does is it allows you to function on the same level as a reptile. It just computes basic survival, fight or flight responses, autonomic nervous system. It doesn't have any emotions. It doesn't have any imagination or planning. It's just me types of consciousness, right? It's just.
So your average teenager.
Well, not exactly, okay. But I understand the point you're trying to make. The reptile brain is just completely self-centered. There's no social skills involved. You know, reptiles just sit on a rock. They don't socially interact. They lay their eggs and they split. Kids, you're on your own. They're responsible for reproduction. You know, that those types of reproductive behaviors and so on. But that's it. Okay, it just keeps you breathing, keeps your heart rate going, and so on. Now, around the reptile brain, like the core of an apple is around the seeds, you've got another layer, and McLean calls this the mammal brain. And if we look at what this part of the brain does in humans, it adds on social behaviors and nurturing and emotions, right? So now, instead of just being a reptile, this part, this layer of the brain, the mammal brain, allows you to operate on the same level as a dog or a cat. You know, dogs and cats can be happy and sad. They wag their tails, or they can growl, and they can hunt in packs, and they can, you know, cuddle up to each other, okay? So that's the middle part, the mammal brain.
Got it.
Now, around that, there's another layer that we call the primate brain, and that's really, it's called the neo-mammalian brain. See, the paleo-mammalian brain is the mammal brain. But then you've got the neo, the new mammal brain, which is this 2-inch thick layer of gray matter and then another cortex around that. And this is very highly refined mammal brain behavior. So look at what chimpanzees and gorillas can do versus a dog or a cat, okay? So that's what this outer layer does. Now, if you hold on to your forehead, everything from your eyebrows forward, from your ears forward, the whole front one-third of the brain is called the frontal lobes. You know how a human, their forehead goes straight up. Compare that with a chimpanzee or a gorilla where the forehead is slanted back, right?
Yes.
So humans have this big bulk of frontal lobes, and that's the most advanced part of your brain. And that's where all the magic happens. That's what I call, it's responsible for CICIL, C-I-C-I-L, creativity, imagination, cooperation, intuition, and logic. CICIL, get it?
Interesting.
C-I-C-I-L. And that's where your imagination is, where planning comes in, abstract thoughts, you understand cause and effect. And what we've come to recognize over many years of understanding what frontal lobes behaviors, you know, how they differ from lower primate brain behaviors, we seem to see a link between all these paranormal types of abilities and occurrences and the use of the frontal lobes. So there's a direct connection between things like precognition and telepathy and telekinesis and how much a person is using one's frontal lobes. As long as you're clicked backwards into your reptile brain, none of that paranormal stuff happens because you're just in, you know, self-defense mode. You're in fight or flight, okay? You're just thinking about me. But think about what ESP is. ESP is thinking beyond the self, beyond mere sensory data, right? So the first thing you've got to do is you've got to click forward from me reptile behaviors into what's going on in the rest of the universe outside the self.
Okay, so the reptilian part of my brain says I got a break for traffic. When we come back, we'll get into the stimulation of the frontal lobe, and we'll do that with Neil Slade here on the Richard Serrett Show, News Talk 1010 CFRB. We're taking a little tour of the brain with Neil Slade. His website is brainradar.com, also neilslade.com. And we were talking about the frontal lobe, the frontal lobes, Neil. And now you said something interesting. That is where the, I guess, we interact with the paranormal. Is that where that resides?
That's right. There's a direct relationship between the amount of frontal lobes processes that you are doing and the amount of paranormal experience that you have. Now, everybody's familiar with Harry Potter by this time, right?
Mm-hmm, indeed.
You know, and what he would do is they'd go to magic school and they would wave their wand, and their wand would allow them to travel into other dimensions, and they'd fight off evil monsters, and they could do stuff like levitation and, you know, all these magical kind of paranormal things. Well, what's very interesting is the real magic wand, as it were, is a little switch inside your brain, and it's called the amygdala. And the amygdala is located right smack in the middle of your mammal brain, right in between the most advanced part of your brain, the frontal lobes, and the most primitive part of your brain. So the way to do this magic, right, the real magic, is to learn how to move energy from the most primitive part of your brain into that magical frontal lobes. And you do it by clicking, as it were, and we say that just as kind of a metaphor. It's really just self-interior stimulation of this amygdala. And that allows an increase flow of electrochemical energy to flow forward into the frontal lobes. And then all that pretend Harry Potter magic becomes a reality, and you really can see what's going to happen in the future, and you can really materialize things and that sort of thing. So the real key here from moving from pretend magic into real magic and real paranormal, which I guess your next guest is going to talk about, is learning how to control the amygdala, the master click switch in the brain.
Does that mean that people who have certain gifts, whether it's a psychic ability, intuitive abilities, or people that see ghosts, or people that see UFOs,
yeah,
have a very active amygdala?
Well, it means that they more than likely don't know it, but what's happening is, yes, they are clicking the amygdala forward, causing an increase in this paranormal perception and ability. They don't know that they're clicking their amygdala forward, but indeed that's what's happening, and that's what allows them to experience. Well, T.D. Lingo's work, who was my teacher back in the late 50s, that was his life's work, was to discover what this amygdala switch was and how to teach people how they could easily click this stuff on as easily as clicking on a light switch on their wall to turn on their light. And I learned that kind of thing from him. And then as a teacher, because I was certified to teach in the public schools, I spent 35 years teaching my students how to do that. And I refined things that Lingo postulated on and experimented on in his work. And I sort of, you know, stood on his shoulders, as it were, and continued that type of educational work.
Neil Slade, my guest, we're talking about amygdala stimulation, among other things, how to supercharge your frontal lobes. But before we get into the actual how, let me just ask you one more question regarding the paranormal experiences.
Yeah.
And that is it your contention that we can reduce a paranormal experience to some sort of chemical reaction inside the brain, or?
Well, I wouldn't say reduce it. What I would say is, you know, we're never going to understand the brain because the brain is the most complex engine in the universe. I mean, it's this, you know, you have, you know, Carl Sagan said there's more possible connections in your brain than there are protons and neutrons in the universe. You know, that was his way of saying that the brain is the most fantastic machine that we can access, and we'll never be able to understand it. So you can say, well, we see a direct relationship between certain types of brain behaviors and the perception and occurrence of paranormal abilities. So I don't know if reduce it to a mechanical thing, but in some ways I would say that's correct. But I would say one should be wary of not thinking that one ever knows all of the answers in an infinite universe.
For example, recently through experiments and stimulation of certain areas of the frontal lobe, they have been able to, I don't know if I would use the word reproduce, an out-of-body experience.
Yeah.
What did you make of those studies?
Those kind of studies, you see those from time to time. Years ago was, well, if we stimulate this portion of the temporal lobes, someone will feel as though they are talking to God. And another study may show, well, if we stimulate this part of the frontal lobes, we'll have deja vu or an out-of-body experience. And I believe those kinds of research and studies are very valid. Now, the real trick is, you don't want to have to walk around with a battery pack and wires wired into your skull, right? That would be rather cumbersome. Let's see if we can do that just as a part of our daily experience without, you know, having to rely on nickel cadmium batteries, if you follow what I'm saying.
Absolutely, yes. Okay, so listen, when we come back then, why don't we, as a musician, let's find out how that connects to amygdala stimulation, how you utilize music in this regard, and let's find out how we can all supercharge our frontal lobes. Neil Slate, my guest on the Richard Serrett Show here on News Talk 1010, CFRB. Don't go away. All right, we are about to learn how to pop your frontals, how to turn on your infinity motor. Neil Slade is my guest here on the Richard Serrett Show. He's a musical composer, a seasoned concert performer, author of a number of books, including The Frontal Lobe Supercharger, Brain Magic, Cosmic Conversations, and Mind Music, and talking about how you can tune in, turn on, and drop out without the use of drugs, LSD, etc. All right.
Well, let's change that to tune in, turn on, and drop in to another dimension.
Ah, I like that. All right. So, how do we pop our frontals?
Well,
Neil,
you know, you brought up the topic of music. How does music fit in? Music really is the bridge between our mundane existence and all these other dimensions that we know that are out there. You know, if you talk to physicists, the biggest field and one of the biggest and fastest growing fields in physics these days is in string theory.
Yes.
And what string theory is the idea that at the smallest level of reality, all of matter is made up of vibrating strings. So what is that? What is a vibrating string?
A giant violin, I guess.
Well, it's actually a teeny tiny violin. Think
okay.
of billions and trillions and gazillions of violins and guitars, right? And harpsichords and pianos. Music is really just vibration. Okay? So music is really a bridge between our plain reality and the magical reality where anything is possible, where those things that you dream of happening, right, and where you are right now where those things have the bridge between those two things can be music. So a good place to start is with music and picking up, for instance, a musical instrument and playing with that as you might play with a magical staff or a magical wand, and allowing that to begin to take you into another space. We know that music can alter one's mood drastically, but what I think people need to be reminded is that music can open up your imagination. It can open up your creativity as well. It can open up all these positive areas that you may want to develop in life. So there's a whole category of tools, as it were, and I call this extensio humeris, things that you hold with the extended forearm. And these would be things like flutes and guitars and clarinets and harps and pianos, all right? And a good exercise is to imagine this primal energy inside the core of your brain, inside the reptile brain. Okay, and consciously move that energy forward and down your arms and into this musical instrument. And as you would paint a picture on a blank canvas, okay, take that instrument and move that energy out through your fingertips and begin to create new sounds that didn't exist before. And in doing so, you will, before your very own eyes, start creating a new reality, something that wasn't there. And you'll start to perceive the movement of this primal energy, this life force, through your brain and through your body and out into the universe. And by doing that, this automatically clicks this amygdala forward, and it creates new connections inside your brain. And I'm speaking of real physical connections that they can trace with a PET scan or a functional MRI. And as you're playing or attempting or learning to play music, if you were to have your brain under a brain scanning machine, you could actually see activity in this most advanced part of your brain happening. And that's how you start to build stronger connections in the frontal lobe. And that's one very fun, easy way to start clicking that amygdala forward.
You're not talking about learning proper music theory, playing scales. You're talking about something just primal. Grab a saxophone and just blow.
Yeah, I'm not putting down regular music study at all. But what I'm saying is, you can do exactly what you're saying without any kind of training. Just express yourself, kind of ad-libbing. Without a sheet of music, without an instructor, just grab an instrument and start making sounds, right? The biggest problem, and I taught music for 25 years, was that many times instruction is given in which the teacher actually clicks the student's amygdala backwards, where the student goes into fight or flight, all right? I'm sure we can all relate to a teacher who caused the student to go into a defensive posture, right? So it's very important when you're learning music that you stay clicked forward out of defense, but rather into open creativity and enjoyment and pleasure. The most rudimentary way that you can tell if your amygdala is clicked forward into advanced processes as opposed to being clicked backwards into primitive negative process is to monitor your emotions. Your brain allows you to, it gives you automatic feedback. If you experience pleasure in an activity, your amygdala is clicked forwards and the energy is moving forward.
All right, let's take a time out here, Neil. We'll come back and continue to discuss the frontal lobe supercharge, mind music, brain magic, all of these things with a composer, an artist, and author, Neil Slade, here on the Richard Serrett Show, News Talk 1010 CFRB. The ability to self-stimulate one's amygdala and experience the frontal lobe's pop phenomenon was proven by a 35-year study by brain and behavior research researcher TDA Lingo at the Dormant Brain Research and Development Laboratory in Colorado, 1957 to 1993. In over 309 students and test subjects were involved, and the resultant increase in intelligence, creativity, and positive emotions were demonstrated and measured by a variety of tests and analysis methods in long and short-term studies. TDA Lingo's assistant joins us, Neil Slade, the author of The Frontal Lobe, Supercharged Brain Magic, Mind Music, talking about how we can pop our frontals and stimulate our amygdala. Now, you mentioned something here on the website called Scientific Nirvana, relating popping the frontal lobes to achieving a transcendence, enlightenment, that born-again feeling. Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah. Well, you know, that the nirvana, the, you know, I mean, those are all, those tend to be kind of cliched sayings, you know, nirvana, but every you know, every religious group has their own brand, some born again, samadhi, kensho, moksha, medicine vision. They're all really just talking about this peak experience when we feel like we're connected with the universe, where everything suddenly makes sense, where we understand our place in the universe. And, you know, that ties in with what you were talking about before, the research experiments, where they actually, you know, put a little bit of electricity or acetylcholine in a certain spot of the brain, and suddenly we have this peak experience, right? But of course, we can't go around with a syringe injecting our brain all the time. The trick is learning how to train ourselves how to do this naturally, as we're driving our car down the road or while we're waiting in line at the bank.
Give us another exercise aside from music.
Oh, I've got one. This will blow your mind, okay? Now, you can't do it while you're on the radio, but I'll tell people how to do this, okay? Now, this kind of ties in with the whole idea of wands and extensio humeris, okay? What you need to do is get a pencil or a chopstick, or even go out in the backyard and find a twig, right? Or a lot of people even have, you know, play magic wands that they went out and recently bought, okay? Get some sort of stick, okay? And this is going to be a kind of a lightning rod, a magic wand, as it were, that we're really going to use. Now, you go into a room that's quiet, where you're undisturbed, okay, and you turn out the lights. And then you can either put on your favorite piece of music, or better yet, hear your favorite piece of music inside your head. You know, you've done that, right, where you can kind of sing a song inside your head.
Sure.
And it's almost like you're hearing the record playing inside your head, right?
Absolutely.
Well, do that with the lights turned out, and then conduct the piece of music with your stick or with your chopstick or with your wand in the dark. And what I want you to do is to direct the energy from the inside of your head down your arm and then through the stick and flick the energy out from the end of the stick. And what you will see is the music and energy. And some people will perceive it as colors. Some people will perceive it as sparks. Other people will feel like it's an X-ray coming out. And you will actually be able to see the musical energy emanating from the end of the stick that you have in your hand.
With your naked eye.
With your naked eye, with your mind's eye. It's happening in, you're not perceiving it so much with your retina, although you may. Some people actually see it with, as if they were looking at light, okay? Other people will have a kind of like a third eye perception of it, but you will actually be able to perceive the energy coming out of this baton, this magic wand. And when you do it, you'll try this and say, oh, I'm not going to see anything. That's just silly. That's pretend. Do it. It will blow your mind. And you've got to be very quiet and don't try to force it. See, that's one of the keys to clicking the amygdala forward and tapping into your frontal lobes. Think of effortless effort. You know, it's kind of like when you shoot an arrow at a target. You pull the bow back, and then you let go, right?
The unaimed arrow.
That's right. You don't run. You don't go running and push the arrow. The arrow flies on its own. So in the same way, when you conduct this inner music and watch for the energy, you don't have to make the energy come out. Just watch for it.
I'm going to try that.
In the darkened room.
I'm going to try that after the show.
Yes. It will blow your mind. Say, wait a minute. What is that?
This hour has come and gone too quickly. I hope you'll join me again. We've just scratched the surface. I'd love to discuss again how...
Any time, we could talk for hours. I've got a whole bag of tricks to discuss.
All right. We'll get to some more of those the next time. Neil Slade, thank you for this. The website, brainradar.com or neilslade.com. The books, The Frontal Lobe Supercharge, Brain Magic, Cosmic Conversations, and Mind Music. Thank you.
Well, you're very welcome, and nice to have been on your show.
All right. Thank you.